Wow. Miracle Grow. I've just been watching you guys grow. Amen. Y'all doing good? How about if we take a minute or two and just love Jesus? Would you open your heart and just thank Him? He's good. Just get personal right now. Just thank Jesus. He's good. Thank Him that He loves you, that He paid the price for you to redeem you, that Father loves you, that you have boldness to enter the holiest place. Amen? Just enter in right now. Just take time. Get personal. Just thank You for Your love for me. Lord, I thank You. I completely qualify. I'm totally in. I'm not out. I'm accepted. I'm not rejected. Thank You for making me Your child. Not just forgiving me, but allowing me to be Your son or Your daughter. Just thank You that I'm home, that I'm where I've always been called to be and created to be. Continue to give me revelation. You can ask Him that as you're loving Him and receiving. You begin to continue to open my heart. I want more and more of You. I just want to manifest Your glory. I just want to reveal who You are through my life as I see who You are to my life. And I just thank You for Your goodness and Your grace in my life. Thanks, God. Appreciate You being my Father. You know, just opening up like that is a real simple and wonderful thing. Get real used to just developing relationship like that and opening your heart often. Amen? So, Father, we just pray right now and thank You for this class. We just thank You for every ounce of grace on the teaching today, on the revelation of the Word that's illuminating our hearts. Thanks for Miracle Grow. Amen? Amen. Miracle Grow. Amen. Let me read this question quick. We'll kick off this. This is a good question. Man, I like some of these questions. It's from Natalie. It says, I keep hearing how it's not just saying a prayer or getting your name in a book, but what do you say to people then? Do you say a prayer? Question mark. I don't see that in the Bible. The apostles taught repent, be baptized. So why do we repeat a prayer? It's freaking me out a little because I'm not sure what to say to people. <It's>, don't freak out, Natalie. For me, I said a prayer in 03. But that was almost only 4 months ago when my heart finally gave up and let go. Yeah, that's... It's good. It's not that saying the prayer was wrong. See, saying the prayer in 03, it's not wrong to say a prayer. The key is that you don't want to imply that the only thing a person's doing is getting into heaven. That's why she's had this experience. So in 03, she said a prayer, but her goal was to get her name in a book, to go to heaven. So it was only 4 months ago. Listen, 4 months ago when my heart finally gave up and let go, and I was ready to be baptized because I ran into one of your sermons that you did on it. And my life is finally changing and I get so excited to get up in the morning because of the teaching in this class. And in short, I don't know how to approach people when it's not a simple prayer that changes you. A sinner's prayer, which we came up with, isn't that excellent? A sinner's prayer that we came up with about 100 years ago or so in the country, it's not that it's a bad idea and it's not wrong to get somebody and lead them in a prayer. It's that you give them understanding of what they're doing. You're responsible for giving them understanding on what they're doing. They're not praying a prayer to get into heaven. They're giving their life back to God. They're dying to the old and living to the new. The reason water baptism got so slipped away in the body of Christ and in churches, and the reason you can just pray this prayer and never even think about being water baptized, because we've taken out the part of dying to yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus. Yeah. So you pray a prayer to go to heaven and you think, well, yay, now my name's in a book, but you have the same mentality, same emotional makeup, same perspectives, same mindset, same issues and struggles, but at least I'm going to heaven now. That's kind of what we've reduced it to. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So you want to be very careful how you present the gospel to people. So you're not, your goal is not to get them to just pray that prayer, to understand who they were created to be. When I get to talk to people, I talk to people about who they were created to be, and I bring up selfishness and how easily we're hurt and offended and jealous and proud, and people are like, well, yeah. And then I get to explain that and talk to them that we were never created that way, that Jesus came and modeled a life that we were created to live. That He's the firstborn among many brethren, and He said, follow Me. So when I look to Jesus, I see my created value. I see my destiny wrapped up in His life lived. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
I find out who I was really created to be in the first place. And then all this other stuff I find is irrelevant. It's not who I really am. It's who I became through the fall. It's what the world taught me. So I put that away. I put that off and I put on Him. So don't struggle, Natalie, talking with people or anybody here, and don't feel like you can't get them to pray a prayer. Praying a prayer at a specific point can be a strong contact point of faith for a person. But you're not praying a prayer just to go to heaven. You're giving your life back. And I like to do that whole thing a lot of times right in the process of water baptism. When people understand, they get into water baptismal, and you know what happens a lot of times? They get in there and they get overwhelmed and emotions, and they begin to cry and they say, I just want to die. I just want to give my life. I was just down in Tennessee. 13 people just spontaneously got water baptized and drove home wet. Had no clothes to change in. In America, when you get baptized and drive home wet, God has to be moving.
Yes.
if you're going through any sense of inconvenience, there's a move of God in this country. I'm being real. These people were just these guys, full-grown men. They'd climb up and get in this horse trough. And we just did one baptism. We had planned to do this baptism. This young man had come to other service that I was at in Mississippi, and he wasn't hooking up. He was like, whatever. And this young teenage guy, upper teens, and it might be closer to 20, and the parents, you know, they want their son to hear, hey, come listen to this guy. They're all excited. And he's just, so he leaves early with mom. But in the process of leaving early with mom, sometime in between, Spirit of God hits him. He's just out and broken. Doesn't want his life anymore. Isn't that cool? At face value, you think he's hard-hearted and hurt. No, seeds are going into him. He's in the right place at the right time. It doesn't matter if it doesn't look like he's ready. The Spirit of God is speaking to him. So somewhere along the way, he gets smote and he's broken. So they pack up and come to Tennessee because they want to share that. He wants to hug me. And he asked me to baptize him. And he's like this at the other place. That's fun.
Yes.
See, you don't get your eyes on that stuff. You just know you love people and you preach the truth in love.
Yeah.
And let Holy Spirit do the work, right? So we baptized him, and then it just triggered all this. Then I just started kind of sharing some stuff, and you know, and there was some conviction came in the room, and next thing you know, we got 13 people passing through, and they totally have nothing to change into.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's great because they're ready. They're not saying, well, you know, let me, and you know, and in this country especially, we got to set a date and fly in our relatives and bring the video and capture the moment and make a photo album. We do. Forget just God is raking my heart. I need to die. Forget who sees it, knows it, but God knows it and you'll know it. I like that. Oh, we didn't catch it. Yeah, we caught it. But this is a couple of these men get up in the horse trough in there, and I'm like, what's got you in this tank, man? What are you doing right now? Why are you up here? They break down. One guy, I'm tired of not loving my wife like Christ loves the church, having anger and frustration in my heart, coming to church and going through the motions. I'm tired. I just want to be real. I want to give it all up to God. I'm saying, God, I'm yours. I'm putting it down. I'm putting this old man down. I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. I just grabbed him and I jumped him under the helm. And the bubbles were. As soon as they stopped, we made sure they were stopped for about 30 seconds. So I think we're ready to bring him up. New man. It's just so fun. But see, our goal is not to get our name in a book to go to heaven. The goal is transformation of life. It's born again. Born again. And that's where we kind of took a bend in the road when we made it all about going to heaven. Hey, if you die tonight and you don't know where you're going, just raise your hand right now and let me know. And we're going to pray. We're going to fix that. And then we confess Jesus as Lord. And that's all we do is give people an idea that, hey, I'm covered. I got insurance. If this thing wraps up, at least I prayed this prayer. No, it's transformation of life. It's putting off the old, putting on the... You know, let me just show that to you real quick, but we're going to get into this somewhere down the road. It'll be a little dangerous going here. Just a little. But I want you to see where I get this stuff because it's all through the Bible, for one. But in Colossians chapter 3, it talks about being raised with Christ and putting off the members of your flesh. And that's to do with, and that's we're going to teach that out, actually. I'm going to wrap up something in Romans 6 today. I really am. And Man, wasn't that, I got lit up yesterday in Romans 6. That was, I've read Romans 6 probably, I don't know, hundreds of times. I don't know how to put a number on how many times I've read Romans 6. A couple, let's just say a few. And I just had fun in Romans 6. I feel like I want to go back there. Because it's fresh, it's alive, man. I mean, we saw in, I'm in Colossians 3 right now, we saw in Hebrews that we have boldness to enter the holiest place. Why? Because through one sacrifice, we were perfected forever. You are. That's amazing. Isn't that awesome? I am complete in His sight. He has measured me up to approach Him. Now, whose idea was that? So He must want me in His presence. So the days of guilt, condemnation, and struggle, and self-consciousness, and shame should be just obliterated completely through this. It's like, why can't I face Him? Are you kidding? Self-consciousness? Are you kidding? Come on. I get in Him and I see more who... See, that's the trap. Self-consciousness keeps you from ever going into that place of transformation. Self-consciousness is the flesh lie that keeps you from ever taking the step into His presence to be made more like Him. And now you have some reason, some natural reason that justifies you from going in to intimacy with the Lord with an unveiled face, so you stay covered. Afraid of the light. Are you kidding? You're created for the light. So jump in and shine. Amen? Okay. And because we're going back to Romans 6 to finish something up there, but the chapter actually, but which will take all class, I'm sure. I'm actually a little nervous going here right now because this is so chock full of everything. But this is in light of Natalie's comment, because her question, who heard her question's awesome? Natalie, that's an excellent question. So don't freak out. It's you're explaining to people the full gospel, the reason He came and rose again, and that's what they did in the book of Acts. And they would share this truth in the book of Acts, and people get cut to the heart and say, what must we do to be saved? We've turned it into plowing to get people to pray our prayer. People just, in the book of Acts, Paul would just share and people believe. The jailer would just see the demonstration of Paul's life and say, I need this Jesus. We've turned it into try to getting all of society to repeat our prayer. It is, you can't even find it in the book of Acts. You see Philip on a chariot with the eunuch, and the eunuch says, who's this man talking about? The prophet is talking about himself or another man? And it says, from this scripture, Philip jumped in and preached unto him Jesus. The very next line says, and coming to some water, the eunuch said, look, water, what keeps me from being baptized? That means he didn't preach Jesus without transformation of life. Water baptism, old man dead, new man alive. The very next sentence, it says, and from this scripture he preached unto him Jesus, period. And coming to some water, it's in Acts 8. You can check it out and see I'm telling the truth. I read the book. And coming to some water, that means he didn't preach Jesus without giving up the old to put on the new. In Christianity, you can't even live until you die. Right? So there's a dying to live. If we don't share that with people and show them this thing that we think is living, it's like the living dead. It's you live to yourself. The way that seems right to man produces what? Death. So we got to get that off of one another, off of people, to get life to come. So we want to put, so we're denying the old and putting off the old and putting on new. We just saw that in Romans 6, right? Yesterday, the old man is crucified. Well, you're not teaching people that if you're just praying a prayer to go to heaven. Now look, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to get numbers and get everybody in the world to pray that prayer so Jesus can come back. We want the transformation of life and love to overtake the earth. Right? See, we got the picture. If we can get everybody to pray that prayer, well, it's the gospel of the kingdom that needs to be preached everywhere. The gospel of the kingdom. That means that His kingdom's come and His will is being done. That you're created to be sons and daughters. That there's a restoration and renewal of life through Jesus Christ. That You get it? It's the gospel of the kingdom. That's different than just trying to get the whole world to pray a certain prayer. And if we can cover everybody with media and TV and missions, man, maybe God will blow the trumpet and Jesus will come. That's what we say. That sounds right, but there's no transformation of life most of the time. So he's going to come and we just prayed a prayer and we had the same frustration, same anger, same unforgiveness, same bitterness, same insecurity, same identity crisis. That's not what I see here. I'm going to read it to you. If you have a comment or question, that's fine.
A real quick question.
Sure.
The kingdom is within. When Jesus said that to his disciples, and you're talking about the kingdom, can you explain that?
Yeah, it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the way God works. It's the way God functions and flows. It's life in God. So the kingdom's within you. So you're created and designed to manifest the kingdom. So if I'm just waiting to go to heaven, and that's all I understand and know, and nobody's taught me that I'm created to be a son, then even though the kingdom's in me, guess what I'm manifesting? The fall of man. The wisdom of man. The same old... Okay, now I'm going to get real straight with y'all, and I need you to be humble. Who's been a Christian and knew you were a Christian and knew you needed a Savior, and I'm not even saying up to right now, but for a long time, lived with the same fears, frustrations, angers, mindsets, emotional patterns, and everything in your life, and yet you knew that you needed a Savior and Jesus was Lord. Now look at the room. That's what I'm talking about. Now watch. Now I'm not comparing and I'm not being proud. I'm honestly honored to be here in this position. But I couldn't raise my hand on that question. How about that? Yeah. See, I'm ready to cry. Because that's a privilege. Because in 95, something changed. Now, before that, I would have told you I was a Christian from age, as long as I can remember back, till I was 33. I'd have told you I was a Christian. And I could have told you why. Because Jesus died on the cross for the remission of my sins. I could have told you that. And I was a total, utter mess. But when I got 33 and got born again and understood what I'm teaching, I can't even relate to fear, guys. Anxiety, worry, I can't even relate to it. That's not my fault. It's not because I'm a great believer. It's because of what I see. And I've found if my eye is single, my whole body's flooded with light. Come on. Now, it's very risky teaching like this because it sounds like I'm exalting myself or comparing myself to people. No, I'm taking the revelation, the experience, the truth of the last 16 years of my life that I know I've lived. And I'm saying, wow, there's a whole lot more. You follow me? See, but how many of us even believe there can be change? How many of us have sold so short that we believe the way we are is the way we are, and thank God he loves us? Come on. Who's embraced that for years? Hey, the way we are is the way we are, but thank God he considers us. And then there's no faith to receive grace for change. You follow me? You go see this in Colossians. This is me. Do you have a comment or a question? Let me just have the mic up here just for the technical reasons. You techie guys are amazing. I tell them they're amazing, but don't lay hands on me. That's why I tell them. I might want a cell phone. You lay hands on me, I might want a computer. No, just go ahead, just speak, Anthony.
You know, it's amazing because I knew that there was more than what I was being taught.
Yeah.
I really did.
Down in your spirit,
because
man,
there were
see?
So many things that seemed wrong that weren't lining up with what was in
Who's
my
ever
spirit?
Had that gnawing feeling that there's got to be more?
Yes.
There's got to be. See, that's the Spirit of God. That's the kingdom within. He's down on the inside. Spirit of God's inside, and all that he is... is encompassed in Holy Spirit, all that God is. And that's a good definition of the kingdom inside. So if Holy Spirit's in us, and like, you know, what's my gift? What do you mean, what's my gift? The Spirit of God's in me. So all that He is in me. So the capacity of the kingdom of God and all that He is inside of me. Yeah. Right? So I'm growing in what that means. That's what we're doing, right? But when that's not happening, like Anthony said, we have this deep sense of there's got to be more. Right? Go ahead.
And then I grew up in a denominational church, and there was good teaching there, and it gave me a good foundation. Although when I hit about 20 years old, I said, God, if there isn't anything else, I'm finished. About 3 weeks later, He baptized me and filled me in the Holy Spirit. And then it changed from there on.
Right. And you were like feeling like, man, what am I holding on to? So there's a feeling of, it's not like the of a sinful frustration. It's a frustration of, man, what am I doing? If this is all, and you're kind of crying out your heart to God. It's amazing how God responds to that, answers that, shows mercy to that. You know what I mean? It's not like He's a quitter or He's like, God, there has to be more. It's just a heart cry.
If the kingdom of God is within us, why is it so latent? Latent.
Nobody knows what that means, and I don't even know if I do.
Asleep, maybe?
Because of a lack of understanding. It's the Spirit of God. He's not here to control your life. He's here. He works with us. He flows with us. We live by faith. My people are destroyed for a... He says, awake and arise, you who sleep, and Christ will give you. There's some understanding that's been put to sleep a long time ago, and I believe we've believed a lot of subtleties that have been interjected, and I believe that a lot of our teaching is laced with a strategy of deception without willful intention on behalf of the teachers. You're just passing on what you've been taught. It's ignorance. It's unknowing. We're passing on. So it seems like all this great power's on the inside of us, and this great identity and the way God views us has never changed. But you have to receive that view to receive the blessing of that view, right? Come on. God can see you righteous. He can sit and look at you and say, you are so precious to me. But until you realize you're precious to Him, you won't walk in the fruit of that. But it's still totally, completely true from His angle. Yeah. Do you get it?
Yeah.
That's exactly why. So it's either unbelief, continued extreme self-consciousness, yeah, but talking around truth, trying to come up with an exception for truth because of flesh realities. The list could be huge. Why? But here's the good news. God hasn't changed. Jesus died and rose again, and the Spirit of God is here, and truth is on the earth. Come on, God hasn't changed. Okay, I'm feeling happy now. I was, but now I am. However that works. Thanks, God.
And that is why, that's on the wall over there. God gives us His personal challenge.
Matthew 6:33. So we're seeking the kingdom of God. So the way God thinks, the way God works, the way God functions, the way it is in the realm of God. We're seeking the mindset of God, right? The heart of God. That all flows through the heart of God. And His righteousness, the way He looks at earth, His nature, His character. I'm seeking Him to know Him that I might know Him, right? That's my journey. That's my goal as a Christian. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy? Didn't see you. Watch this. Colossians 3. Therefore, put to death. Well, I'm just going to back up. One. I can't believe I'm in this chapter. This chapter, this is scary. Yeah. Since you were raised with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. Okay, this is good. This will be good because of your comment on what is the kingdom and it's inside of us, okay? So this is a good answer to your question too, just scripturally. Since you've been raised with Christ. This is Paul talking to you. He's saying, since you've been saved, girl, seek the things that are above and not the things on the earth. Now, how many of us proclaim spiritual through just a simple confession, hey, Jesus loves me, He's Lord, but live through the eye of flesh? Well, that needs obliterated. That can't be, and I'm not demeaning her comment. She said, sure, that can't be a simple sure. That has to be a, you're kidding me, no way. Why would I? Because now I've become spirit. Why would I live by the flesh? To live by the flesh is death. To live by the spirit is life and peace. My single, my whole body is flooded with light. The eyes, the lamp of your body. You get this? Now watch. See, this is not here to sound rosy. This is here for transformation. And Jesus wrote this stuff by the Spirit. I mean, this is amazing. Watch this. Since you were raised, it says if then you were raised. He's not questioning your salvation. The word if in there simply means since. Since you were raised with Christ, so positionally you were raised with Christ. See, some people just grab a hold of a positional theology. Well, brother, I mean, I'm on the earth and it is like hell, brother, but at least I,
by faith, I'm seated in Christ and seated in heaven.
That's blah. Throw that away. It's way more than positional. If you read on, look, if you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are the way heaven thinks, right? Watch. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind. So there's your place. You being a steward of your life and setting your mind. Sounds like it could be a challenge. Sounds like it could be a temptation to have your mind other places. True? Why is he telling you to set your mind there? Because there's a temptation to be in other places. Other arenas, other mindsets. Right? Set your mind on things what? Above, not on the things of the earth. Now, how often are we just driven, without even a thought, just driven by life and its happenings and people and what they're saying and not and the goings of life and the things of the earth are just driving us. See, if we don't get a grip on thinking from above, we won't even be able to process the things going on here correctly. You understand? And we're just at the mercy of life then, living in the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I had that years ago. But for the last 16 years, that's changed. And I'm pumped. I tell people either I'm the most whacked and deceived man on the planet, or I'm free. It's one or the other. And I'm banking on free. We'll find out one day, but that's what I'm banking on. But it's one or the other. I'm either way out there and deceived and out of balance and whacked, or I'm free. And I'm just banking on free. So watch this. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of the earth. Why are you going to do that? Here's the key. See, we didn't just pray a prayer to go to heaven. Because you died. You died to you and the way you were and thought and everything that encompassed you and that made up you. You died. The seed fell and died. It fell to the ground and died so it could spring up. Bear much fruit, right? If a seed doesn't die, it abides alone. It's just self-conscious, self-centered, self-preserving, self-serving. And at the end of the seed's journey, all it is still the seed that was called to die and spring up and bear much fruit. You get this? Look, why are we going to set our mind on things above? Because we died. We died to life. We died to this life. We died to the way of life. We died. We're thinking from above. You died and your life is now hidden what? With Christ in God. Oh, and look at this. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Oh, that's so good. See, people can mock, judge, scoff. Oh, well, you got to face reality, brother. When nobody can live that way, well, that ain't the way it is. Well, you got to know that deep in your heart, you get it real and get out of denial. And everybody goes through it. Bop, 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 bop. You are not called to justify and defend and prove all that. You just live and be free and you manifest purity. Because when Christ appears, guess where you'll appear? With him. And then people will go, oh, it was true. See, that's what it means to commit yourself to him who judges righteously. Watch, therefore, because all this is true, put to death the members, your members, the members of your flesh is really what that defines out to be. Put to death your members which are on the earth, the flesh, on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. It's all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. See, what he's saying is that's not you anymore. Because you used to live in them. Now you might get tempted by them. Now a passing pleasure might drift through your mind and you go and you see it for what it really is and you call it.
Yeah.
You say, oh, you used to own me, but I belong to another now. You used to drive me.
Yeah.
But God, I thank you. You've changed me from the inside and you've raised the level of integrity and the honor of who I see myself to be. And I am way beyond that now in my spirit and in my life. Father, I thank you that you have to... That's what it means to set your mind. And you're not just letting things just drift through and eat your lunch. And just own you and drive you.
Yeah.
You following? Come on, this stuff's in your Bible. It's not my good idea on notes. I don't have them. All I have is a paper up here with Natalie's question on it. But I do have this. I wonder if he's writing in here, and when he's writing, he's talking to me. Wonder if I believe that when he's writing, he's talking to me. Wonder if I don't believe it's just some men that wrote a book. Wonder if I believe it's the Word of God, and when he's talking to me. Let me finish this comment for a minute, Rick. Just thank you. I'll get to you. Look at this. Because he's in which you once lived, and when you walked in them, you lived in them. But now, verse 8, but now, see, something's changed. Change has come. But now, you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Come on, don't lie to one another. Why don't you lie to one another? Because you've put off the old man and his deeds. Okay, how do I put away wrath, malice, anger, and bitterness, and filthy language and not lie? How do I put that stuff off of my life without getting into works and trying to be a better person? How do I put off the old without me accomplishing it in the flesh and just getting into works and trying not to be angry? It's good. It's good. You guys are all... It's total relational. It's faith and grace. It's so watch. Watch. Oh, watch. You start realizing you weren't created for any of that. The lie is finally exposed and you understand it's a lie. You are not created for anger, for wrath, for filthy language, for evil desire, for passion, for covetousness, for jealousy, for pride. You were created for God's image. You were created for God's glory. You were created as a son or a daughter. And you finally see that through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the accomplishment and the work. And all of a sudden, in a place of faith and prayer and communion with God, you, Father, I thank you. You made me to love. I thank you that you didn't make me to be an angry man, a jealous man, a self-serving man. That's why I'm surrendered, God. I yield myself to you. I give myself to you. And I thank you that the days of anger driving me are over. Your Spirit in me, working effectually, giving me understanding, changing me from the inside out. Your grace is all over me, God, to mold me and shape me for the way it was before Adam ever ate the tree. I'm in, God. I don't reserve any rights, anything for myself. As the best I know, I'm calling it all dead, and I thank you for causing me to live. That's prayer. You pray in that way. You're thinking that way. You're believing that way, and you're surrendering rights in prayer, and when you walk into life, you will be amazed, at times amazed, how those rights aren't there. How the way you used to react, you don't react anymore. You just changed. And here's the sweet thing. Somebody will say, man, you seem like you have a strength in your life that I haven't. Stronger than... You're solid. That didn't even move. What are you doing, man? How did you get that way? And all of a sudden, you can't take any credit. You can't even say, well, because I've been really disciplined and reading a lot and I've been fasting and I've been doing right, brother. No, what happens to you is you don't even realize the change because it's supernatural, it's spiritual, it's from the inside out. But I know one thing, you know you're willing, you know you're yes. You say, I am not created for anger. Anger is unacceptable. Strife will no longer drive my life. Stress is over, God. I thank you that I have peace with you and you have invaded and overtaken my life because I have yielded like clay and you are pottering me and making me your masterpiece. Yeah. I thank you that I'm a tree of righteousness. There is fruit hanging all over me. And when the thirsty need drink, it's on my tree. When people need love, come to me. When people need mercy and forgiveness, it's all over my life. I have prayed that way for years. And guess what? You actually believe it. But the Spirit of God has faith to work with.
Yes.
And agreement to work with.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's not latent. Latent. Miss Martha. All of a sudden the Spirit of God, not that he was ever slumbering, rises up in you.
Yes. There you go.
And he's awake and he's alive. And all of a sudden you get thrown into a thing where you should be so angry.
Yes.
And you don't even know how to be. Not because you're trying not to be, because it's a Christian thing to do. Well, I can't be angry now. Well, now what, brother? No, we can work this out. No, it's okay. Right? That's ridiculous. No, where all of a sudden it's not. Why? Because it's supernatural. Then who gets all the glory? So I go to Anthony and I say, Anthony, what's going on with you, man? How could you this? How could you? Man, what? And all of a sudden he's looking and he can't really answer. He just knows he's been with him. And all of a sudden Anthony goes, God, you are so working in my life. You're transforming me. God, you're bringing to fruition all my yeses and desires. All of a sudden tears are in his eyes. He has to get alone because he's just in love all the more because, God, you're so faithful.
Yeah.
You've considered me, God, and not only considered me, you've transformed me. I'm not the man I used to be, even in action and demonstration. This isn't even faith anymore. It's reality.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
We had a couple hands. I know I had Rick and Brian. If you can help me, BJ.
The question I have, when you were reading Colossians 3:1, we say we believe that we were risen with Christ, and I don't know what you went in Romans 6, but Romans 6 clearly said he died unto sin once, he's alive unto God forevermore.
We
likewise
that.
Reckon yourself. Now,
that's it.
If that's so, then why is it that most of our messages are on sin, most of our talk, and when people talk to me, the only time I think about sin is when they're bringing it up. Why is it we always got to have sin as part of our vocabulary instead of righteousness?
There could be a lot of answers, Rick, but here's the deal. And I'd be hesitant to answer the question and put it in a box because there could be a lot of reasons. One thing we do is we tend to don't realize we honor the ability to sin, and we feel like we got to uphold it because if we make ourselves humble, it exalts God. That is not God's intention. God's intention isn't that we humble ourselves by exalting our sinfulness. Actually, humility is the ability to receive. Pride resists. When you say yes to God's love, that's humble. When you say yes to God's mercy, that's humble. When you look and think of your life and what you live, and yet God says, I love you, and I don't even want to remember that, I love you, and you say yes, that's humble. When you say, who, me? Well, yeah, but you don't know where I've been. Well, not. I believe God can forgive you, but he could never forgive me. That's pride. Absolutely. You're exalting your own behavior, your own actions, your own past above his good nature. Come on. So pride resists, humility receives. So this is a good way to weigh humility. Some of these things have an appearance of humility, and they're false humility. They have an appearance of humility. They're not humility at all because they resist the grace of God. Well, humility receives the grace of God. It says God gives grace to the humble. So if somebody's resisting grace, that would make them proud, right? Come on. So the best thing you can do is just let him love you and just get goofy with him, man. You see? So, did somebody else have a comment?
I just, when you were talking, Dan, about how do we do this with staying out of works.
Yeah.
God brought to mind, it's so awesome in John 6, after he gets done feeding the 5,000, they ask him, what must we do to work the works of God? And he says, it's very simple. The work of God is to believe.
How powerful is that?
He made it so, his love is, but we still relate to him as if we're still married to the law. And Romans 7 says,
right.
Divorce from him and be dead to it.
It's excellent, Brian.
And I was teaching last night and I said, I'm going to say some things that are going to sound sharp, they're going to sound harsh. I said, he doesn't need you to serve him. He He doesn't need you to love him. He doesn't, you know, need you to do everything. All that stuff is in response to what he's done first. If we don't get that, if we don't say yes and believe that, you know, we're still relating as though he needs, like you said, he needs affirmed. He needs these things. He's up there freaking out, you know, but it's, he made it so simple. The work of God is just belief.
Like yesterday we said, if it's works, then it's debt. We're paying off a debt. Remember in Romans, we went to Romans 4, we backed up. But see, it's not debt, it's grace, right? So we went to that chapter. And watch this, let's do this, because I want you to see this. And then we're going to try to go somewhere. I guess we are somewhere. Are you having fun with this? I'm really having fun with this. Hang on, just hold questions for a minute. Let's just get here. Don't lie to one another. Why? You've put off the old man. How do you put off the old man? The only way you put off the old man is communion with God and prayer and coming out of the lie of who you've been taught and told you always have to be. That's another reason sin is mentioned so much. Now, you have to make sure that you don't hide behind that lie of sin and use that sin doctrine as your excuse to remain in the flesh. Sometimes it just explains away our experience. Because we're struggling, or we're this, or we're that, or we're not seeing change, so we come up with a doctrine to oblige our life instead of change our life. Are you following me? We do that with healing too. Just hang on. I'll let you go, and then I'll take a couple of questions since they're obviously building. Linda, give her the mic, and then we'll do whoever. Did you have one, Trish? Did you have a question or comment, Tricia? Well, hang on. Wait. If you do, I'm saying, do you? Oh, because we'll get you the mic. What I'm saying is, we'll cover a couple.
Yeah, I don't lie to one another. I never knew what that meant.
Well, don't lie to one another. Don't live insincere. Don't live deceitful. Don't lie to one another. Why? Because lying has to do with self-preservation. You're covering something. You're usually protecting yourself. Why do people lie? So why would you lie to one another? So people say, no, I didn't do that, or no, I didn't say that, or they'll exaggerate things or make up things. Why? Because there's a self-connotation. Well, we died to the old man. Why would I live in deceitfulness anymore in the place of lying if I've died to myself? I have nothing to hide. Do you get what we're saying? Do you understand? Are you sure you understand? Try to explain your question more so I understand what you're asking. It says, don't lie to one another since you put off the old man. In other words, let's live in uprightness. Let's live in truth. Let's live in honesty and sincerity. Why? Because we're now Christ-like. See, for us to live in deceit and lying, we think that's just human nature. That's just, well, it is human nature through the fall, but it's not your created value. That's what God's saying. What he's saying is, the way you lived before I came isn't the way I made you. The way you lived before I came is the way you became because of sin and being born into Adam, and you must be born again. Come on, this thing's clear. So a brand new nature, brand new way of thinking, brand new way of living, brand new motivation, and now it's love. So why would I lie? Why would you lie? Why would we lie to one another? Why would we live in deceit and dishonesty if we've put on Christ? You get it? So why would we do that? So here he's saying, the reason we won is because we've put off the old man. So the old man has to do with deceit. Deceitful lust, passions, malice, wrath, anger, evil desire, covetousness, all these things are the old nature. You follow? So we're going to put them off. Watch what we're going to do then, Linda. Watch. And we're going to be renewed in knowledge. See, this is what we haven't understood. What we're teaching, the purpose of doing this school and teaching what we're teaching is because it seems like we haven't understood this, right? So we want to get this knowledge out there because in all you're getting, get understanding. If we can get a revelation, this will transform our life. Yeah. It'll convict us in areas where we haven't received change. Things that were permissible that aren't edifying all of a sudden get exposed and revealed for what they really are. You see what I mean? And all of a sudden, truth comes and makes you free. That's why you teach. What are you showing me here, buddy? 9 and 10. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom-made by the Creator with all of His label on it.
That's good. That's really good. That's the Message Bible. So that probably answered your question there. That was good.
So watch this. So the new man is what? He's renewed in knowledge according, in agreement with, according to. So the knowledge has an attachment here. The knowledge is according, watch, this is where I get this, that we're being restored back to his image. Let us make man in our image, and in the likeness of God, he made us. Right? You look like your daddy. You really do. So, see? Because he made us in his what? In his image. So when God sees every one of us, he sees that. That destiny, that potential to manifest his nature, his character. Right? So here's what we're doing. We're putting off the old man, putting on the new, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the Christian life is a restoration back to the image of God. Yeah. It's right there scripturally. There's a couple other places, but there's crystal clear, isn't it? So the new man is a man that's thinking through, living through, and seeing through who God is. And you realize you've received every right to become that by his grace and power. And faith takes you there, guys. Amen? Did you have a comment? Did you need the mic? It's right behind you. Just grab it.
Well, I was just going to say, when you were talking about being humble and pride, it's like we're taught the opposite. Like that being prideful is saying that, what?
Yeah, like it's presumptuous. Like what I'm preaching could be presumptuous and poor little arrogant and, oh man, you sure aren't humble. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm trying to tell you who I think I am. And it's not glory to me. It's glory to him. It's his desire. It's all everything he's saying.
Right.
So these comments are so superficial. We say, well, you need to watch out. You need to stop. You need to not think yourself more highly than you ought.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, that's
yep.
People stepping out beyond gifting, the grace on their life. It's trying to minister beyond where you've been, what you've seen, delving into things that comparison, trying to impress. People can get weird in that stuff. But to think higher of yourself than you ought, that would be pretty hard in the sense of relationship and identity, because God's saying through Jesus Christ, I love you!
Yeah. Yeah.
You're worth the blood of my son. Your life lived is worth his death. So let's get it on and roll this thing so I can get you up. Come on. Amen? So yeah, there's the connotation your whole life. Yeah, that's fine. There's a connotation your whole life that these things are reversed. That to speak the way we're speaking is proud, and to do the opposite is humble. It's twisted. It's twisted. You know, so the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is of the evil one. The reason there's so much indecisive doctrine is because we've listened to the devil more than God, because we've weighed our theology through life instead of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's a strong statement, but I made it with the tape running. We have. Yeah. We've done it in healing. Maybe he will, maybe he won't.
Right.
If it's a yes and amen gospel, where'd we get the yes and no in healing? Because let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the devil.
That's right.
Come on. That means he's orchestrated our theology through life instead of the life of Christ. And he's played on our sentiments, our empathy, our hurting hearts, our anger. He's played on that stuff.
Yes.
To get us to embrace a language that we're almost afraid to touch, because everybody's hackles come up and we're all in self-defense of our private circumstances, losses, trials, long prayer, losing a loved one. And now we can't even preach through all that because there's walls around people.
Right.
And we're all defending our experiences.
Yeah.
At the cost of truth.
Yep.
Which makes us free. It's a whole nother topic and a whole nother day. You have something else?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the image. Like, we're made in God's image. What does that really mean? I mean, as his image.
The image of God is love. God's nature, tender mercies, gentleness. Well, we're going to read it. I'll just read it right here. It's a good question. And we're going to hit become in love. I told you guys, just hang on, because it's just going to be fun. Because it's so affrontive. It so exposes human flesh. And motivation. When you preach love, love is the freest place you can live. The reason God is so free and so amazing is because he's love. He's not having a bad day, and his heart's not hard. And if you'd look through human eyes, he has every reason to be a mess. He should probably change his mind about us. He should probably give up on some of us.
Right? He should probably have some of us on probation, making us prove ourselves. He should probably be a lot, right? But he doesn't think like a man thinks. God is love. And he gives you every opportunity to shine. So why don't you shine? You do. Amen. She's so awesome. I'm glad you're in the front row. Hope you don't mind me picking on you like that, but it's just a blessing. She's just so sincere. When I look at her, I see a sincere heart lit up for Jesus. I'm like, oh, it smelts me. It does. It's really fun for me. Okay. We're renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew. See, there's no comparison stuff. It's not circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. Now watch. Therefore. Oh, we already read. Therefore. We don't have to back up. As the elect of God. What are you? See? Just get over that. And just say, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah. You're the elect of God. You're God's choice. You're God's elect. You're the best he could find. You're the best he's gotten. He's good with that. Man, come on. It's in your Bible. And we're going to down talk that with sin language? I'm not down talking nothing. You can tack me to a cross. You can call me a heretic. You can stone me. I found it here. I'm the elect of God. I'm his choice. I'm the best he could find. I'm not just his choice. I'm his elect choice, dude. So are you. And he's right in the front too. He's just hanging on, man. It's good. The elect of God. Oh, yes. That's humility. That's absolutely right. She said, that passes the test. She's sitting there saying, wait, I'm elect. If I believe that, I've passed the test. I'm humble. Grace is on me. That's exactly what we're talking about. So if we read that, watch what pride says. Well, I don't know why God would choose me. And see, the only reason you're saying that is because you're weighing your life based on past life lived. Not potential destiny calling and identity through Christ. The only reason you'd say that is because you're evaluating and assessing yourself through the flesh instead of Christ in you and your potential. Oh, it's clicking, huh? So you are the elect, right?
Yes.
And guess what else you are? Holy and beloved. Now, who wrote this? Did a man write this, or did Holy Spirit inspire a man to write this? So the Word of God's inspired by God, by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God wrote this through a man and inspired him to call you holy because that's how God sees you through Christ. Hello? And we're going to drag around and sell out our identity and then live up to what we think we are, which is low. That's deception. That's why this identity thing is so huge, and that's why we've camped on it for 2 weeks. Because all of a sudden you live what you think you are. You give yourself to the value you possess. And your identity and esteem dictates the fruit that hangs on your tree. You can follow, it's a proven thing that almost all addictive behaviors are attached to a shattered esteem and identity and insecurity. Identity crisis. Addictive behaviors, compulsive behaviors are because we've devalued our identity, our esteem. You follow me?
Yeah.
What am I reading? Oh, the highlighted. So, chosen by God for this new life of love. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Oh, I get to play with the phone. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Good deal. It's clear. That's the Message Bible. That's what we keep reading there. I'm going to read it in my New King James Version because it's anointed too. Therefore, did somebody need that? Somebody? Let me read this, and if you still have a question, we'll let you.
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. So you're holy, you're beloved, you're the elect of God. So since this is true, you're not just this to wear that t-shirt, I'm loved by God or I'm the elect of God. It's to enter you into the transformation of life. It's to qualify you to receive His grace, His nature, His spirit, be transformed. Watch this. If you're the elect of God, holy and beloved, look, does God love you just for the sake of loving you? Is the goal of the cross for you to say, Father, you love me, or for you to be restored back to that love? See, we can just stop right there and just say, well, it's just all about God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Well, that's great. He does, and we need to see it. It's paramount. That's why I'm camping so long on it. But you're going to find out in this whole next week coming up that the whole reason that love is so there, so free to flow, is so that you be transformed by it and reproduced after it and made just like it. Or it's still just a self-serving thing, and it's just about being loved by God instead of becoming the love of God. You follow me? Because if not, you're just drawing all, you're just receiving the love of God, and you're walking around on this little island all by yourself. God loves me, but you despise people, you're jealous, you're proud, and you say, hey, well, that's all right, I don't care what you think. God loves me. That's twisted. Because the whole reason this is here is for this to flow. The whole reason God's love is on the earth towards you is so you become that love and love one another. Nobody's on an island by themselves with God. And even if you take a little siesta with Him, a little trip with Him, a little honeymoon with Him, it's still all about you becoming love and manifesting that love in your life. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Now watch. So put on. Here again, if we put off through communion and union, then we put on through communion and union, right? So we put off the old. Now we're going to put on the new. You put on what? Tender mercies. Tender mercies. Man, it might be good sometimes just to study out some of these words for you in your own life. I won't do that in the school, but unless the Lord would put an importance on one of them. But a tender mercy. Tender mercy. It's beautiful. It's the heart of God. Kindness. Do you hear that? It's not just even mercy. He adds the word tender. Mercies. I love that.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, no, look, no, it's okay. I'll let you slide. No, look, I'll forget it. No, it's okay. No, serious, it's done. No, there's tender mercies. There's such a heart in this. I just love that. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Why? Because if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, are you already forgiven? Even as Christ what? So are you already forgiven?
Yes.
Well, then why don't you just become forgiveness? See? So why is that kind of grace forwarded towards humanity? So we can become the same thing. His image, the restoration back to His image. Do you see? So are you forgiven for the sake of being forgiven so that you, yourself, and you can get to heaven one day? Not even close is right. Thank you. It's so that we can become the same thing and manifest Christ to the world. And that God's intent, remember Ephesians 3? Through the church, make known His manifold wisdom to the powers that be. Oh, you get this? But above all these things, put on, it's the bond of what? Perfection. The bond of perfection. That'll freak some intellectuals out right there. The bond of perfection. Perfect unity. Love. It's the fulfillment of the law. It does no harm to a neighbor. Love fulfills all things. It's amazing. It's your all-purpose garment. Yeah, never be alone. Do you get this? 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of all our instruction, the goal of the commandment is love. This thing is not about getting to heaven. It's about becoming love. Because if you become love, who knows, you're one with the eternal one and you'll have everlasting life. Of course we hope in that. And there's a truth there, and I hope in his appearing, and I'm glad that I'm one with him, and I'm perfected in that day of judgment because I have boldness, because as he is, God is love, so am I right here. We're one. So I have nothing to hide from, nothing to fear. When he comes, he'll see himself in me, and two are already one. That's perfection. It says, love is perfected. 1 John 4:17, love is perfected in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness.
Yeah.
Why? Because as he is, so are we. Who is he? The whole chapter, John 4, is love, 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 love. God is love. He is love.
Yeah.
That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. But the whole chapter is good. Read it. It's fine. Perfected. 1 John 2 says that if you love, there's no cause for stumbling because of your brother. That means nobody has the authority, the power anymore in love to stumble your heart, offend you, or cause you to take a step back. Oh. We're going to get on love, you guys. I'm telling you, you're going to be over here. Stretch till the popping stops. When the popping stops, I figure then we'll retie everything up in the bands and cords that cannot be broken. So poetic. Romans 6. Did somebody have a question, a comment?
I have one question.
I have this brain freeze still on Colossians 3, verse 5, where it says, mortify your members on the earth. And I'm thinking, you know, the spirit of man, that's the part of us that's made in the image of God. Where is this, all this opposition? You know, we're dead, but yet we have to mortify after we're dead. Is that like coming out of our soul realm? Is that the mind, will, and emotions? And do you think that the new man includes it? Is it greater than just the spirit of man, you think? Does it include like the will of man? Am I getting too complicated?
Probably a little with that. We've lost our innocence through sin, right? So when you hear the phrase, become like a child, that's the restoration of your innocence. Okay? So one goal of this gospel in making you love is restoring your innocence again, where your heart is pure, and to the pure all things are pure, and the pure in heart see God. But if you have to set your mind on things, there's still things that rise above the knowledge of God. There's still thoughts that go, yeah, but, and the flesh is involved. And there's still passing desires. There's still memories of yesterday. There's some of them are demonic. Some of them are just former memories. Some of them are absolute strategies that are interjected just at the right opportune time to try to get to see if you're really what you say you are. You're in a war.
Yes.
You're not wrestling flesh and blood.
Yes.
There's a deceiver who is whispering. He's a snake in the grass. And he says, did God really say? Did God really say? And then he contorts what God. Oh yeah, God said. Yeah, but God just meant. And that language is in the church a lot. On certain topics, especially healing. You'll find when we get on healing. Healing, when I talked about healing last school, I told you it was the toughest. I cried after the sessions. It was like, it felt like we couldn't hear. I felt like we have been so boxed in on healing that we couldn't even hear. And I cried. I actually cried a bunch of days during that whole session. I feel crying now. But some of this stuff comes. So, see, there's the difference, Martha, between this stuff isn't just positional and you confess it and that's it. There's thoughts that rise above the knowledge of God in your life. It can come from your soul. The fact that you lost innocence over the years, and there's a way that seems right to man that's gained a voice and it keeps trying to speak, and you have to submit to God, resist that thing so it's done. Some of them are demonic strategies, and I believe they're literal whisperings. Did God really say? And I believe they're straight from the voice of hell.
Yes. Yes.
You get it?
Yeah.
So what, it doesn't matter the source. If it's knowledge that rises above God, it's not God. So it doesn't even matter the source. Who cares technically where it's coming from? It's not God. It's not edifying. It's not wisdom.
It's the way that seems right. Whether it's coming out of my soul, whether there's a devil with a little megaphone whispering into my mind, it doesn't matter to me. I have to get to a place where I know what is God, and the lamp of the body is fine-tuned and narrow through truth, and all these other things are exposed through truth and light and removed. Do you get it? So I'm setting my mind on things above. That's why you got to build yourself. Did you hear John say? I was reading 1 John yesterday, and I was like, yeah. See? Now, that's not to get you into the place, well, I better read my Bible. I'm a Christian. No, you read your Bible because you want to know and understand and know Him. You want to be in the light and in the knowing. You don't want anything to eat your lunch and sell you short now that Christ has come. So you're not reading your Bible because it's a Christian thing to do. Well, make sure you attend a church and read your Bible once a day and make sure you pray. What we tell people. And then we turn them into a robot. Isn't that what we tell people? Welcome to the kingdom. Make sure you plug into a good, life-giving church. Read your Bible every day. And make sure you pray. Rather than, man, enjoy getting to know Him, just understand that when you read this, this is your face-to-face encounter with Him. You will see who He is, and the more you see who He is, the more you'll know who you are. Man, you get excited, and you get in the Word because God will reveal Himself, and every time you open it, don't read it like a history book. Ask Holy Spirit to give you revelation, understanding, and illuminate you, and cause you to see the face of the living God.
It's a little different than reading because you're a Christian and doing your daily devotion.
See, I'm devoted to you, God. I'm keeping my mind on the things of God this morning so I can live the rest of the day okay. That's man, let God come into your daily devotion. I'm not against setting time apart. But who knows, God needs to invade even sometimes your perspective of devotional time. God needs to show up and make it life. Am I just being real? Okay? Okay. We good? I got a lot of hands. Go ahead.
I got the thing.
Jesus, I got the thing. You got the kingdom too. You're elect and holy and beloved.
You got it. Yeah. Hey, for several years I've not understood the single eye, but it's just simply being heaven-minded, the mind of Christ, the identity lining up with what God says.
Looking through truth, looking through the life of Jesus, looking through love. Single eye. God's not multiple choice. He's not a wide view lens. In other words, He's not a well, but yeah, if. You know what I mean? He's the way. It's the way of love. You'll find as we teach more down in the school here that the way of love will define that big time. It's the way of love. Love doesn't take account of a suffered wrong. Why? Because love doesn't seek its own. So if you don't die to yourself in your Christianity, you always seek your own. And that's where fear comes from, frustration, discouragement, despair. Now watch. We teach in a way that gives ourselves permission to be all those things and say it's normal. And if somebody says they're not, they're in denial. Sorry to take that on your table, but that's a lie. So we get to the place where you can't just be okay. I say it all the time. You've heard this. You've heard people say, if you have somebody that's always saying, hey, I'm cool, brother, I'm good, brother, hey, I'm doing great, brother, you need to get them alone, get them where nobody's around, and get them and look them in the eyes and say, okay, now tell me how you really do.
Exactly. Yes.
Because we believe you can't be okay. And if you believe you can't be okay, you will never manifest okay. But when I read my Bible, it tells me I'm free.
Yeah.
We sing the songs, freedom, spin, and wave all our little wavies, and then believe we can't be free. And believe that if we're saying we're okay too much in a row, there's got to be something wrong and we're in denial. But we'll sing I'm free and wave our little thingies. Come on. I'm getting real with this thing. I'm addressing this thing. Come on, don't you believe you can't be transformed and walk in the image of God? Don't you dare believe that. Grace is sufficient for you. What God calls you to, He empowers you to. But you have to believe it. Did He call you to become love? Is He willing to make you love if you're willing? Come on, of course He is. Good answer, of course. I like that strong answer. I got hands everywhere. Where do I have hands? I got, oh my goodness, what am I doing? I'm stirring up a... a pot. Jesse.
Yeah, I just wanted to, going back to Colossians 3:5, what Martha was talking about.
Yes.
I think, because I had that same question in my heart as far as my mentality of, okay, the Holy Spirit is in me. So the ability to become like God is in me. I'm renewed. But my mentality in the past has been, okay, the Holy Spirit's in me, but I still have issues in my heart that are getting renewed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you're
but
growing
still,
up into Him.
But
and things try to get in the
I
way.
But when those desires rise up, what you're saying is, by faith we say, that is not my identity. That's not who I am.
Look at verse 5 in your Bible. It says, therefore, and then read the next four words, or three words.
Consider the members of your earthly body as dead.
Therefore, oh, okay, that's what yours, mine says, put to death.
Put to death, right.
Or consider the members dead. So if they seem to have life, guess what you do? Kill them.
Right. Right.
And then they seem to have life, kill them. They seem to have life, kill them. And don't say, why do I have to keep killing this thing if it's already dead? And then just kill them.
Yeah.
Put to death the members of your flesh. In other words, you're not going to live by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And enjoy the ride, because there's nothing wrong with you. The fact that you're feeling other things, or say you're, man, it's a good thing actually, when you're trucking along and all of a sudden you're in a place of relationship and union, communion, and all of a sudden, God, you see something about your heart that has a shift or a twist to the motivation, and you see it. That's an exciting thing, because that means you're walking in the light. That means things are being revealed. Some of them just leave and you never know it. They just leave in the process. Some of them God wants you to be aware of and highlights it so that you aren't snared by it, so it doesn't subtly sneak in. He wants to kill it for sure.
Yeah.
So He shows you what it is, gives you an understanding so it's not a snake in your life. And He crushes it. So you don't have a problem. That's an awesome thing. Now, if you're not clear in your understanding, then that happens. You go, oh, God, I can't believe after all this time I still got this wicked stuff in my heart. I don't know if I'll ever change. And then we go into that demeaning mindset language. Ho-hum, wonder if I'm even saved or something. That's the whole strategy. Exactly. Do you see? To try to get in your head and slowly repossess your heart.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. See how good questions are? Questions are good. Did they draw out truth? What do we got here? Here's verse 5 in the Message. And that means killing off everything connected with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of God. We used to live that way, and there's a temptation to still reserve that right. True? But you set your mind on things above. The fact that it says set your mind means there's going to be a trial in areas of your life. That things are going to come back to test you and to try you. That the devil himself is going to look for opportunity. And don't you be unaware of his devices. You get it? So you work out your salvation with a reverence and awe to God, and you manifest who He is because you can. Amen? Come on, this is crystal clear.
And yeah, just to build on that comment, observing Romans, I mean, the only command He gives until chapter 12. So for 12 chapters, the only command He gives, the only thing He tells them to do is reckon. Therefore, believe. Therefore, reckon yourself indeed unto sin, and then
dead
you get to Romans 12. But you can't get to Romans 12, which is telling you what that kind of life looks like, how that kind of life is lived. You can't get there until you have hit Romans 6,
right,
which then leads to all the way through Romans
12.
Just, so
that,
the only
that
command
truth just
is
keeps
believe.
Building.
The only command is reckon.
Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. We pounded that yesterday. It was so life-giving. The atmosphere was like in the room. It was like my heart. At least it was my heart. Maybe it was just my heart. But I was just like, because that's powerful. You know, you reckon yourself dead. Romans 7 talks about the man still married to the law and trying to work out his own deal and not through Christ. Romans 8 tells you to live by the Spirit and that you're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that if God didn't spare His own Son, how much more will He freely give you everything it takes to be like His Son? It keeps going and building, and then it reveals the life in 12 and 13, actually, of just that finished work. Amen? Yeah.
The question I have for you, I woke up with this particular scripture. Simultaneously, Brian got the same scripture with the same thought, and I'm going to ask it, is it possible, because it's not nothing in Colossians, but it's in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Is it possible that 2 Corinthians 3:18 is a wedding ceremony where the veil that is over us is God saying you're a chaste virgin, and where the man says, who gives this woman to be the bride of the husband? The Father lifts the veil up and says, it's time for the wedding night.
It's awesome. You can see all that you want and rejoice, okay? For 2 Corinthians 3:18, see, it's what you can embrace and see. What he's talking about is we all now with unveiled face. This fits totally. This isn't an offbeat question, guys. This fits totally in everything we talked about for the last 2 weeks. So we all now, because of these truths we've been sharing, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror. Man, look at this. Behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Man, we all just pass out mirrors. Oh.
Just. Now they would think that was arrogant.
Oh, give me a mirror, dude. Yeah. I do it in my truck. I look in the rearview mirror. I catch myself. I look in the truck. I go, I do it when you aren't in my truck. I look in the rearview mirror. I go, I catch my eyes. I say, I see you in there. And you know when I do that? The Holy Spirit comes and just comes in my little truck. God of the universe manifests in my little. See, I'm just like, ooh, right now. I'm just, turn into a hoer right now. I am about ready to hoe right now. Oh, I'm really ready. Help me, Jesus. Keep me behaved. Keep me behaved. Stop. Everybody stop. You're not helping things. You stop. This is too good to laugh. Don't. We are. Look, we're not maybe, might, think, and hope for. We are being transformed. See, the first key is you with an unveiled face look in that mirror and see the potential of God, the image of God, the created value of God. You look in the mirror and see that you're one with Him. Now look. Oh, that's true. With an unveiled face, you beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. What a good revelation BJ has on that. I'll let you just jump up and share that. You got the mic? From glory to glory. You jump up and just share that. It's very clear.
God is always God, never changing. God can never be a God that is waiting to give us our blessing. God is God from everlasting to everlasting. God is a God that has delivered us and has blessed us. From glory I was blessed. From glory I was delivered. And to glory will I ever be delivered.
Do you see that? Watch. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God has always seen me for who I am. God has always called me to His highest best. God has always called me to His image. So that's a place of glory. He created us, God's glory on the earth. Man, Psalms 8 says that. Hebrews 2 says that. So from glory, and then Christ crucified, raised again, to glory. And everything in between? Come on. God has never lost sight of who He made us to be. That's what He's saying. What God blessed is still blessed. God doesn't change His mind. He doesn't not see blessing and then decide to bless. He blessed us in creating us and made us in His image. Man fell away. Man died. Man lost it. He moves all that away, and from glory to glory through Christ we're restored back to what we always were in His sight. That's phenomenal.
Yes.
So you better with unveiled face what? Behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And go ahead and let Holy Spirit transform you into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Watch this. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, why would we ever lose heart?
But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. No longer walking in craftiness. Remember, Linda, lying to one another? We're no longer walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully or with any wrong motive, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You hear purity and all that? Oh, man, why would you want anything else unless you're selfish? I wasn't talking to anybody here. I was just talking. I was making a statement. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Why would you want anything else if you're surrendered and dead and alive unto God? Oh, this is so fun. I tell you, I'm getting born again. I'll be saved before this school's over. Do we got everybody covered? Coming up here. Got Catherine too. Let's just hit a couple questions quick. We'll take a break and we'll go try to finish Romans 6. Oh, God. Huh? Well, you can get there by faith if that'll help.
I don't have a question. I have a comment on the way, because I studied that out, right?
Yeah.
And that was fun because I heard you say the way, the truth, the life, and the way. And then there was regards to the evil or the downside of that, the way. And the way is actually in that is pertains to a highway. And if you search that out, you'll find out there's highways in those days and even now are built up so the water runs off. And they were extremely high back then because they didn't have pavement like we do now. So Holy Spirit said, it's a highway, and you read the truth, so you have life, so you're going down this highway. But if you get off on the edge and you start to waver, you actually run off the road. You'll run off the highway.
Right.
So it's the truth, the life, and the right highway, like
right.
in Isaiah 35, the holy highway.
Right.
So you can either be awesome. You can either be on the highway to death, or you can be on the highway to life.
Right.
The truth, the life, and
but
the way.
But right in the middle of it all, there is the way. There is a way to. That's like being in the world and not. That's being transformed by the. So our minds need a total conversion, and that's where transformation's found. Rachel, over. That's the only battle there is. That's the only playground of the devil, is try to get in your head into unrenewed areas, into unsurrendered areas, into misunderstood areas, or just no understanding areas, and take advantage of what you don't see. Go ahead.
This may be completely off-key, and if you want to address it later, that's fine. It's a parenting issue, I guess. How do we parent out of love, not frustration? Because I knew that God, obviously, He loves us, He disciplines, or I guess we have consequences for our actions.
Right.
And we need to instill that in our children.
Sure, that's what discipline is.
So, but how do you separate that? How do you separate the anger and just parent out of true love and not allow your emotions and frustration?
That's an incredible, excellent, awesome question. We'll address it right now, okay? Because it pertains to a lot of people, even in this room. One of the biggest areas I was challenged in my whole life was you take what your kids do more personal. Somebody else's kid could do the same thing and you wouldn't even think much of it, and your kid would do it and you'd be like, wow. You know? So, but it all goes back to the becoming love, seeing the value of your child and the blessing of your child, and it's this communion place, Rachel, and I'm talking to everybody else too, but she asked the question. It's when you get that frustrated in correcting your child, it's because you're taking their actions what? Personal. That's what it's showing you. You take that right to prayer and you start putting that off. Father, I thank you for the blessing of little so-and-so, little so-and-so. And Father, I thank you that just the way you saw the value in my life, even when I was way off track, you never came and slammed me. You weren't frustrated. In fact, the best you could do is love me and send your son and make a way for me. Thank you for making me that love, causing my eyes to see in little Billy, little Johnny, what your eyes see and have always seen even in me and in them. Lord, I thank you for bringing my heart in. I don't want selfishness. I renounce it. You find yourself on your knees, you're weeping. Did you hear her tears in the question? Because obviously she's revealing this has been a challenge in her life in areas, and it's convicting her. That's good. Your tears are awesome. It's awesome to have those tears. And then, because those tears are showing that she cares. And she's realizing this isn't the way. There has to be a better way, another way. How do I? So the fact that she's asking the question with tears isn't, oh my God, there's a problem. No, it's, wow, there's an answer. Because there's a lot of people not even blinking in that scenario, and they're expecting to feel that way. And he did what? She did what? Well, no wonder you feel that way, honey. I'd have been kicked too. I'd have knocked him across the room. That's how people talk.
Yeah.
No, Father, this is not your heart. What I'm feeling makes me uncomfortable. You get real with God. You get what I'm feeling makes me uncomfortable. Put your heart in me. I want to see the value of them. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be personal in this thing. And I don't want to touch them outside of love. You have never, I pray this kind of stuff, you have never touched me outside of love. God, thank you for moving in my life so that I never touch outside of love. What you've done in me, I want to do in others. Reproduce yourself. Have your way. Slip to my knees. Sincere praying. Who knows that God starts doing stuff. I don't have the direct how he does that, Rachel. But I know if you'll do this, he'll do something. And all of a sudden, you'll just find yourself. Like people say, be careful if you pray for patience, brother. God will give it to you. Don't pray for patience. Who's ever heard that phrase? I'm thinking, what do you mean pray for patience? Just become love. Love is patient. Because when you're praying for patience, what you're saying is I have a love deficit. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I have a love deficit. So don't break the attributes of love up and try to get one or the other. Just become love and you'll find yourself very patient. Why? Because love doesn't take account of a suffered wrong. Love's not seeking its own. So here's the deal. So when she disciplines her children, her child, or when you discipline your children or child, all of a sudden it's truly for their sake. You actually see their value, and what you're doing is for them down the long road. And they might not even really understand it, but you take the time to try to explain that, and you put certain conditions and restrictions and disciplines out there because you're trying to teach them that they continue to live this way, it's going to cause them great pain. And you try to send that message through discipline, right? And a reaping and sowing kind of mentality, and teach them where, because if it's just out of frustration, it produces rebellion, willfulness, tit for tat, push shove, secrecy, getting behind your back, and all that. It creates a mess of stuff. Because there's no grace on that. You're not doing it because they've ticked you off. You're doing it for their sake. So you're asking the Father by Holy Spirit to reveal their value, the beauty of discipline, the wisdom of it, and the right heart in it. And most of all, you can cry in your bedroom when nobody's looking and say, you know, I know that I shouldn't feel this way right now. There's something I'm not seeing and I want to see it. You can pray that humble and real. Don't try to be so spiritual that you can't get alone with God and say, you know what? I've been struggling with this. This frustration feels like it's what's motivating me. It is so not your will. So you come out of agreement with it. You call it what it is and isn't. And you realize it's not your calling in life or your lot in life. Don't label yourself as a person struggling with frustration. It is not who I'm called to be. And Father, I thank you for teaching and showing me. Right then, Holy Spirit might put a verse in you. He might put a scripture in you. He might just come and touch you or whatever. He might just be there and listening and doing whatever he does supernaturally. But you walk out of the room in faith. And you thank God he's transforming your life. Next situation you get in, you'd be amazed how things start changing. Serious. Because you don't bite your lip to be a better Christian. That's why people are discouraged. Because they realize they can't. And then they feel like something's wrong with me and I mustn't really care. And maybe I'm rightly not sincere. And well, I'll never get it. If I didn't get it by now, I'll never get it. And all those thoughts come. They're degenerate. And they're discouraging. And they're not true. You get it? Okay. Why don't you guys go take a break? And then we'll hit Romans 6 when you come back. Bless you guys. Take a break. Yeah.